Making my cat happy is my number one priority, and Fresh Step Outstretch litter helps me do just that. Meet Mr. Mittens. Mitty, for short. Mitty is happiest when his litter box is clean and fresh, and Fresh Step Outstretch is amazing at absorbing waste and odor. We sure have found our common ground, haven't we? Happy cat, happy life. Find Fresh Step Outstretch at a store near you. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Certain trademarks used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Oh, hello. Welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison. And
this is a podcast. We ruin a horror movie just for you.
Just for all of you. Hallie, I know I just saw you. How you doing?
I know. I'm good. I was just in New York. We had our very first actual Ruined live show. It was, of course, streaming at Moment House, if you all saw it.
Yes.
But also, if you were in New York, you may have physically attended it. Please tell us we did a good job. I think it went well. What do you think?
I think it was super fun. It seemed like everybody had a really good time. You know, it was our first pass at, like, what does this look like in front of other people? Also, like, not even live. We haven't been in person to record together since February of 2020.
Yeah, we have not seen each other in over 3 years, three and a half years.
Well, we'd seen each other, but we hadn't done Ruined stuff together.
Oh, yeah, you're right, because I did see you when I was in New York, yeah.
But that's not enough, but it was so—
Spiritually, we hadn't seen each other.
Yes, in the Ruined sense.
Spiritually, I mean, yeah, exactly, podcastly. But it was so great. Thank you so much for everyone who came out. Yes. Everyone who we met was so incredibly kind and wonderful and such a sweetheart. We really appreciate it. And if you watched it on Moment House, thank you as well.
Yes, hopefully we're translated.
Hoping to do more live shows like in 2024 as we sort of figure out what that looks like. Because I was nervous because I haven't been in front of an audience in that way in so long. Mm-hmm. And you pointed out, you're like, you've done Love It or Leave It, which is true, but it's not my show, so I don't really care. You know what I mean? Like, I want to do a good job, but I'm not going to beat myself up.
Yeah, the stakes aren't quite as
high
from an ego standpoint. So,
Allison, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm finally almost done my traveling hell 2 months and just have to go to Ohio this week and then Missouri next week and then I'm done. And I don't have to go anywhere anymore.
Where are you going? Are you going to Cleveland?
Cleveland and Columbus with Alana.
Where are you playing in Cleveland?
I'll
tell my Cleveland friends.
No, I don't I think great. They're. I think they've been sold out for a month already. Girl can pack a
house. Cleveland, hopefully you're already going.
Yes. And also by the time this comes out, I'll have done it and come back already. You know, time.
Perfect. Time. Our old enemy time. Yeah.
How was the flight back?
I slept. I slept hard and then I watched The Devil Wears Prada. Devil Wears Prada is my number one comfort. Put it on, having seen it a million times. It is a perfect movie.
It's a perfect plane movie, too.
A perfect plane movie. My plane movies are Devil Wears Prada and Crazy Rich Asians. Because I feel like I could watch 20 minutes of that, fall asleep for 40, wake back up, see the end. I have either one of those movies and I'm good to go.
Yeah, right. And they're both like interesting enough that if you're not sleeping, you're like, okay, I'm half looking at this. I'm paying for Wi-Fi and also just fucking around on my phone. Like, I'm not like, you can half pay attention and still be like enjoying them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Those are great choices.
Thank you. I try to do good in all things. I really appreciate you saying that. Yeah. Speaking of doing good, we are, of course, doing the God's work by which we are, we are using this month to try to scare Allison to death. Yes, the theme of this month is let's scare Allison to death. It hasn't worked so far, but every day you're closer
still
to death.
Alive.
Yeah. Every day that you're closer to death, and that's kind of the same thing.
True.
So
that's every month then is scare Allison to death.
We're doing a movie I've been wanting to see for a while, and it is a movie I ended up watching last night in the dark.
Oh my God. I didn't like watching the trailer in the light.
And I will say this is a haunting one. This is also a very grim, greasy English horror movie.
Yes.
And that, of course, is 2018's Possum. Hmm. And I just wanted to say that it is written and directed by Matthew Holness, which I don't know if you would have seen this, but he is the creator and star of a he plays a character who is like a fictional horror author that is an incredible character named Garth Marenghi. And he did like a it started as a stage show, but then it's sort of like a limited series. Or I guess every British show is a limited series. It's not like here where we have to like pump them out. But the show is called Darth Marenghi's Dark Places. And he's done like a series of other ones. Hang on. Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. Sorry about that. It's like a horror comedy. And it's sort of like both about this horror show and also is like a mockumentary from the actors in it.
It's
very funny. And when I was in New York, I did a couple like storytelling shows where I was a fictional horror author.
Oh, fun.
And I feel like I should like reread something that I wrote, because basically the entire joke, which I thought was so funny and nobody else really thought was that great, and I respect their opinion, it's wrong, but the joke of my character was that I was just really bad at describing things. So I'd be like reading a description, was like really
wait, that's spooky. So funny.
Thank you. I think it's unfortunately just one joke, so I really should have kept it short. It's like a 5-minute joke. And this is like 10 minutes of me reading like a story. I'll try to find it. I did it for a podcast one time, and I'll try to find the link. But I thought I bought a big hat to wear.
Oh, sure.
I was kind of going for like an Anne Rice, you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Southern Gothic. and then I just, every time I had to describe something spooky, I did the worst possible job.
That's
like,
that so was like funny.
Like an absolute fool. Yeah, well, maybe I'll try to revive that for the pod. But this is something that I was familiar with, Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. And then to see this movie, this is not a horror comedy, Allison.
No.
Straightforward,
no,
baby.
Nothing about this looks funny.
And it's based on Holness's a short story that he wrote of the same name that was published in the horror anthology, The New Uncanny, Tales of Unease. And I fucking love horror anthologies. Let us know your favorite horror anthology. I love them as kids. I've started to buy them again.
Nice.
Nothing takes the edge off than reading one spooky story at a time. You know what I mean?
I love anything that's like a short story, an essay, a vignette,
just easier for you to get.
Yeah, my attention span is that of a goldfish.
So we, of course, always like to have Allison watch the trailer. Allison, what did you think of the possum trailer?
Very scary trailer. Also, the trailer, it starts off and you're like, I think I kind of get what this is. Like, maybe there's some kind of demon. A boy goes missing. This guy either killed him or, like, sacrificed him or something. But then, like, spider legs. And then another guy, and a lot of like balloons with black air in that. I did not like this.
Yeah, it's a lot of upsetting imagery.
Yes.
And again, I'm not saying you can't do a reboot or you can't use IP, but I do feel like the current trend, like people are relying on visuals from the original movies.
Yes.
When what we want is
new,
creative, unique, novel visuals.
Right.
And scares, of course. And there are a couple of visuals in here where I'm like, have I seen something similar? Yes. But have I seen this? No, I have not. And that...
I like that.
I give this movie a lot of credit.
And not for me. But, like, I'm glad.
Absolutely. And then, most importantly, it was 85 minutes long, which, of course, is the length a horror movie should be, as we've established on this podcast. We always like to take a baseline scary. Allison, how scary do you find the concept of a puppet you can't get rid of?
Oh, boy. I don't like that at all.
All you might.
Honestly,
Allison,
a puppet I can get rid of is still pretty scary.
I will say, if you're on the Wikipedia, the main character is described as a disgraced children's puppeteer. If you can imagine what area of scary we're going to enter soon.
Got it.
You know? So two thumbs down is what you're saying.
Yeah, I would say that that's not something that I enjoy or ever want to hear.
How do you
hear
feel about puppets in general? I feel, of course, we did Puppet Master.
Right, but those are kind of a different breed.
I don't know. I think maybe these are all breeding together.
Oh,
I think
no.
If you got the puppet from this movie together with those puppets, they'd be fucking and sucking and making a bunch of monster puppets, unfortunately.
Oh, boy.
I think they're the same species, yeah.
Okay, well, I guess my biggest confusion is why we're calling this possum when clearly it's spider, but...
I'll be absolutely honest. There's no reason other than that is the name of the puppet. It's never explained.
That's so strange.
It is simply Yes. And I think this to me has like a, it uses a lot of like childhood dream logic. So I think we're just supposed to think like this is like a kid named a puppet that is as a child.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And would you like to guess the twist based on what you know about 2018's Possum?
Guess the twist.
Oh boy. Would you say there's a twist?
No, I would say, so it's so hard to say now because I'm like, my brain is so broken that I'm like, no, you see what's happening. But let's say there is. Okay. There's not really. I guess there's a twist, like there was a twist in Devil. Does that make sense? Like it's a twist, but not.
Right.
It has to end up somewhere, sort of.
Yes. I'm going to guess that like we see them like from the perspective of like our main character that like there is a possessed puppet. It is controlling what's happening, but we then find out in reality that's not happening and he just killed this kid. Like he's imagining the puppet telling him what to do and then he murders on behalf of it, but he's really, it's like Son of Sam style. Like that dog isn't talking.
Perfect. Okay, great. And I also want to shout out the main character who's played by the actor Sean Harris. Who's been in a million different things. He was in Prometheus, Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, and Mission Impossible Fallout. He's in a ton of different British projects, obviously. This motherfucker, it's literally him panicked, wordlessly scrambling around a muddy field for 90 minutes, and it's scary the entire time. He does an excellent job.
He seems like he's killing it.
He's knocking it out of the park, and the park being... trauma-based children's horror, British terror. You know, it is a smudgy, smoky, wet little corner of cinema, but he nails it.
Yuck.
So let's begin. Oh, and by the way, there's a lot of poems in this, so get ready. Put on your little poetry hat. Your poetry hat is a spider.
Oh, it's a little it's like a spider fascinator.
It's like, I feel like somebody's got one of those. Is it Dita Von Teese? Yeah. We open on our main character, Philip. He is standing stock still to feel, his mouth agape, a look of horror, which is like what he looks like the entire time. And he basically starts at a 10 and has to ratchet up to a 15, which is not easy for an actor to do. And Sean Harris nailed it. We hear in voiceover him reading a poem that says,
"Mother, father, what's a foot? Only possum black as soot. Mother, father, where to tread? Far from possum and his head."
Suddenly it's nighttime and we see Philip standing over a leather duffel bag, which is sort of like in the crotch of a tree. Like the tree itself splits off low to the ground, as we saw in the trailer. And Philip, we hear him read another poem. "Here's a bag. Now what's inside? Does he seek? Or does he hide? Can you spy him deep within? Little possum, black as sin." And he, of course, kneels down to open the bag. And when he stands up, he looks silently horrified. Something ain't right with that bag, Allison.
I don't like it. I mean, it looks like a nice bag, but I don't want to know what's inside.
Oh, it's a gorgeous weekender. I mean, like, or I would absolutely have that bag. So we get this incredibly terrifying credit sequence that we later then see throughout the movie, like the images from the sequence. Okay. One of them is sort of like an abandoned army barracks. So we know we're going to see that at some point. Don't go to an abandoned army barracks. There's nothing good that's going to happen there.
You don't need to go. There's no reason for you to go to one.
Exactly. We see Philip. He's dressed in like a travel trench, which we love. He's kind of got a look at the beginning. He has a look throughout, actually, now that I'm saying this. He's standing over a bed and he sees a leather duffel bag sitting there and he's glowering it. And he takes his cigarette and he puts it out on the bag. That on the train, we see he's got the duffel bag on a little table in front of him. He's obviously lost in thought. This is a man who spent his entire adult life lost in thought, basically. Mm-hmm. And he looks up and he sees some middle school boys chatting, you know, going nuts. And one of them is drawing. And at this point, we immediately know something bad happened to this guy as a kid, right?
Yes.
Like, he is, and it's not like a malevolent stare at these kids. It's like, I am carrying around my trauma from when I was your age stare, right?
Yes.
And one of the boys drawing looks up and sees Philip staring and kind of like looks away. And when they're all getting out of the station, Philip tries to talk to him and say, "Oh, what were you drawing?" But the boys freaked out. Because I will say, Philip, You know, and that's a lot of the movie is like, he's clearly so isolated and he doesn't mean to be, but he does have a very menacing countenance.
Yes, he is like a scare, like his vibe in this is scary.
Right. So if you're like a 14-year-old boy, you're like, I'm going to go ahead and talk to this guy.
I don't need this.
And, but then you also do feel bad for Philip. It's like, I do think that he means well, but he has, we'll find out what happened to his childhood. He's, Philip has gotten off on the wrong foot in life is sort of how I would say it.
Okay.
And I feel terrible for him. He's socially awkward. He's isolated. And he's got his big duffel bag. So he goes to a home with boarded up windows. You love to see it, of course. And he uses his key to get inside. And it's super run down. We've got wallpaper falling off the walls. But there's obviously someone living there. And he puts his duffel bag down and he starts to slowly climb the stairs. We see a bedroom. There's a bunch of yellow and orange balloons.
Yes.
In front of a wallpaper with a pattern of boys playing with yellow and orange balloons. And then we just see this like dark black smoke start to emerge around the balloons, sort of like originating underneath them. And we're seeing this, of course, as Philip is walking up the stairs to his own childhood bedroom. So again, in case we didn't know,
he did not
have a great childhood. We're not film critics, but we've seen enough of these to know exactly what we're picking up what the movie's putting down, right?
Yes.
We then see him leafing through a children's book, and we realize it's a journal. He drew this book, very Babadook-esque. And so it's drawings of this spider-legged creature and then poems about the creature, which is named Possum.
Okay.
We see the poems are sort of paper-clipped into the book, and one poem is titled After the Fire, Possum. Mm. But then we kind of don't see the rest of the text. And we see Philip pick up a floorboard and put the book back underneath it. And when he goes back downstairs, his duffel bag is gone from the foyer and has been placed on a table in the kitchen. Philip calls out a name, Maurice. He enters the kitchen and he grabs the duffel bag. And he takes the bag into the back of the house. And he opens and he pulls out a gigantic spider puppet. And the legs span has got to be about 6 feet across. We do not see the spider's head. We just sort of see the legs emerge from either side of Philip as he takes it out of the bag. And he furiously jams it in a barrel.
No.
And storms back inside. And he throws the empty duffel bag in the yard next to the door. We then hear another poem. Bag is open, growing wider. What's inside? Man or spider? Little boy, don't lose your way. Possum wants to come and play. We see Philip exhausted, collapsed on a bed in his home, a fly crawling all over his sleeping face. And I will say, I have a fly in my room. I need to get flypaper. It's killing me.
That sound is just like when it like kind of zooms by your head and it's like,
how dare you?
This is awful.
It's a human being's home.
Yes. Get out.
Allison, when Philip wakes up, the spider puppet, which we now know is named Possum, is lying stretched out beside him in bed, basically staring him face to face.
No.
He throws it to the ground.
No.
The puppet has returned of its own volition.
That's not great. You don't want to see it. Not from Possum the spider puppet.
And this is, unfortunately, what we realize. He's been trying to get rid of this puppet for years.
Yes.
Is the puppet immediately recognizable as a symbol of his trauma? Yes.
Yes.
And yet, it remains horrifying, even knowing that this motherfucker is not going to be able to get rid of this puppet, right?
Yes.
So he jams Possum back into his duffel. Clearly, he can't get rid of the damn thing. He's probably tried this a million times. He makes it down to the foyer. Before he goes out the front door, there's a closed door next to the front door. And he stands in front of it, staring at it. And behind him, we hear a voice saying, going in. And he turns, and we see a grizzled old man, Maurice, his uncle, who is standing inside the kitchen. And Philip says no and follows Maurice to the kitchen. And it's such a robotic, automatic no and like a following of his uncle.
Yeah.
Like this is the dynamic, right?
Yes.
Clearly the uncle is, they've established a routine since his childhood, and that is he listens to his uncle, right? Once they're in the kitchen, Maurice is like talking about how he loves Possum the puppet. He's like, that puppet's really impressive. The legs are really, like, incredible. And he says, what is it? Like, is it a sculpture? And Philip says, it's a puppet. And Maurice says, you show that to children? Philip says, no, I'm destroying it. And Maurice asks, even the head? Allison, we haven't seen the head yet.
Right. No. Which really asks some questions about what's going on with that head, that we're bringing it up and we haven't seen it.
Even the head, Allison?
Even the head. Now, did he make, or is the idea that he made this puppet?
Yes. I think we're to believe he made the puppet based on this character he created as a child that he wrote about in his journal. So he is now, as an adult, disgraced children's puppeteer, made the actual creature. If that makes sense.
Yes.
And so Maurice tells Philip, I heard about your performance. An old teaching colleague of mine wrote to me, a scandal by all accounts. So we don't get any information, but we do know that Philip is a disgraced children's puppeteer. So I think we can assume that he made this puppet and had some sort of complete mental breakdown based on how he is acting now.
Yeah, that tracks.
But Philip says, no, they'll take me back once that's gone. So I think he's saying he got fired essentially from school. And he's like, no, once I get rid of this puppet, they'll take me back in my job. That is not how jobs work, especially jobs at a school.
Yes. No. You're not just like, I'll figure it out and then it'll be fine.
Yeah, if you terrify children with a big spider puppet you made, I don't think they're having you back. Maybe a different school, but not this school.
Yeah.
And he Philip takes a sip of tea and he spits it out violently. And Maurice like sort of tisks him. And he says, well, now you won't get anything from the jar. And we look and there's a big jar, glass jar of like green hard candy inside this glass cabinet. So clearly, again, like this is the candy that Maurice always gave him, always gave his nephew. And Maurice says, can I get a demonstration of the puppet before you kill it? And Philip says, you can't kill it. It's a puppet. And Maurice asks, burn it, will you? And Philip doesn't ask it, doesn't reply.
Yeah.
But he looks around. He's like, this place is disgusting, Maurice. And Maurice is like, wow, king of the castle coming in here, critiquing my dump that I live in. And Philip starts to storm out. He's still got the duffel bag. And he says, remember, I want a demonstration of the puppet. We then see Philip smoking on a playground. He's on a swing set, deep in thought.
Yes.
And he sees a couple approach the baby carriage. And again, it's like, clearly he's processing or not processing something that happened in his childhood.
Yes,
so he doesn't mean to be creepy. At the same time, this couple with the baby sees this guy literally fucking staring the daggers at them from 100 feet away, chain smoking alone with no child on the
at a playground.
No. We see him take the duffel bag in the woods, and he keeps trying to abandon or burn or destroy Possum.
Okay.
So we see him wandering through the trees, distraught, and then we don't see him ditch it, but he ditches it amongst these trees. So there's like a dark path in the tree. He looks at it. Next time we see it, the bag is gone.
Okay.
And we see him reading another poem and reading from the book. And again, we see it's hand-drawn, and we see sort of the adventures of Possum. And here's another poem he reads. Look at Possum. There he lies. Children meet his lifeless eyes. See his nasty legs and tongue. When he wakens, watch him run. Mm. And that one says, watch him run, Allison. That's so weird that it was in that movie. Philip sits. We see Philip alone, possumless, sitting in the woods near the river.
I have a quick question about Possum.
Yes, please.
Is it a puppet? Is it a marionette?
I think it's a marionette. We don't see it move, but it looks like it is. The legs are attached sort of in a string-like way. Like the legs hang from the head. So I presume when it's operational, the head's held up and then the legs are mobile. But you're right. We never see him actually use the puppet. So I'm actually not sure about that.
No, I think that seems likely.
We see him next. He's near the river, and he's there at dawn. Like the ground is covered in frost. Every time we see him, it's like 5 a.m. And he hears from the woods a man's voice call Philip. And when he looks up, Possum is just sprawled on the bank in front of him. Possum is back.
Possum is back.
Back at the house, he asks Maurice, can you lend me your tools, please?
No, boy.
And there's also this horrible tension in this filthy house that's like suffocating between them.
Yeah. It's like all the scenes, like if there's sunlight, it's like that very like yellow, dusty, like the air feels like so stale.
Exactly. Like almost like, remember like before we had glass, people would make like oil paper windows. It's like that yellow diffused life. And Maurice makes a joke that he's eating roast fox. And we had seen that Philip saw a fox in the backyard. So I think he's joking, but also maybe implying that he did catch any of the fox in the backyard.
Okay.
And Philip, he says, oh, you're dismantling it? And Philip says, yes, I am getting rid of it. I'm taking it apart. I'm burning it. I'm destroying Possum. And Maury says, pity, puppetry is the one thing you were good at. It's like, okay, thanks. I don't know what to tell you. It's destroying my life, obviously. And Maury says, oh, you're staying here? And Philip says, yes, it's my home. So, yes, I will be staying here whenever I want. Maurice then pulls out a wooden puppet with a carved man's head that sort of looks like Maurice. It's like the puppet version, but like clearly is like a little, it's Maurice-like.
Yeah.
And he holds it up and says, my father taught me, runs in the family.
Aye.
So he knows it's about child abuse, right?
Of course.
As soon as you hear that, like, right.
That's
okay,
what we're talking
runs
about.
In the family, right? And Philip retorts, you're not my father, Maurice. And Maurice he starts to well up, like his eyes filled with tears. And he shuts the door, but not telling him, like, I want my tools back. Again, Philip goes to leave, and when he does, he looks at the closed door next to the front door, but he still does not open it. Allison, unfortunately, while getting undressed for bed that night, Philip hears on his little, he's like a little black and white TV, that officers are searching local woodland areas and waste grounds for a missing 14-year-old boy who was last seen on the train on his way home from Marshwood Secondary School in Fallmarsh. Allison, it is the boy from the train.
Yeah.
It's Michael. We find out later his name is Michael. The TV cuts to static and Philip shuts it off. Now, we haven't seen Philip do anything, but he obviously is extremely freaked out by this and doesn't know what to do. So he's going to go do what he does every day, which is try to get rid of Possum.
It's like every day. It's like Groundhog Day.
Exactly. And we see Philip walk through the park and we see these two hooligans yell at him. Is that you, pervert?
Yeah, Philip, I mean, you would get that reputation with what he
is never not running around, panic, sweating, mouth agape with a spider puppet. Like, if you
alone
live in this town,
near children
like,
and playgrounds and schools.
Like, okay, yeah, like Philip is back in town. The boys are back in town. The boys being Philip and his gigantic spider puppet. Allison, Philip has gone to the local school.
Oh, no.
And he's just standing there staring at it. And a teacher comes out and says, hey, what the fuck you doing out here, man? And Philip says, this used to be my school. And the guy says, you got to move on, okay? Hey. And Philip says, yes, sir. Sorry, sir. And again, like any authority, he's immediately a child again. And he physically runs off. Like he sprints off in his trench coat. And, you know, he's stuck in his childhood. He keeps going to these children's places, presumably because of the abuse in his house. We see what his uncle's like. He sees the home that he grew up in. So again, he's trying to get rid of Possum. Possum is the manifestation of his trauma. Normally, I wouldn't call it out, but like that's what the movie is. And it's almost like, we'll get to the ending of it. I like that we're not spelling it out, right? Like we get it. You don't have...
Yeah.
It's not heavy-handed. It's like you're watching a fairy tale. Like, you know what he's doing. He has a burden, and it keeps crawling back to him. Like, he cannot abandon it. That being ostensibly, like, every day he thinks about being abused as a child or, like, whatever happened to him, which we'll find out. So he arrives at sort of the dark tree tunnel we see at the beginning, and he throws the bag into the crook of the tree, which we saw at the beginning of the film. And we cut to him opening the bag. Someone yells his name, and he looks up. He's back in daylight. And knowing, again, panicking, he grabs the bag and he runs out of the woods. But, hey, so that didn't work. Where is he going to go? He's going to go to the fields. There's a bunch of little bridges. He takes the duffel bag with Possum and he throws it into a creek.
Okay.
And he begins to
walk home. If you can't burn the spider, drown the spider.
Just drown it. Hey, worth a shot.
It's something.
He throws it in the creek. Allison, he begins to walk home. He immediately tries to run and instead collapses into the mud, which covers his trench coat and is all over his face.
Oh, God.
And this poor bastard, like, he cannot catch a break.
I know.
And we cut to this image of Possum being drowned in a bucket of water. And we sort of see its head is, like, human-esque, but we don't get the full head yet.
Yeah.
And it's, like, clearly he's tried to do this before, but, like, he's going to keep going.
Yeah.
And he gets up out of the mud. He's gasping. And he runs back to the creek. Because that's the other thing we see is, like, there'll be some time where he can't leave it. He has to go back and get it.
Yeah.
He cannot find the duffel bag. He's splashing around in the water. And most of it's pretty shallow, but then there's like a deeper area. So he's like up to his knees and he's like fishing around. It's freezing cold.
Ugh.
And he climbs back on the bridge and he crosses to the other side where he finds Possum out of the bag, lying in the mud. And at home, we finally
I'm
see
like, why
possum.
Do I feel bad for possum in that
I
moment?
I do too. Like, listen, it's honestly not possum's fault either.
No.
We see possum hanging on the wall, and we finally see it's like a pale, bald human head.
Oh my God.
That it doesn't look exactly like Philip, but it's not looking like Philip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it is a eyeless, hairless feature. Like, it has a nose and eye holes, obviously, and ears. But we then hear Philip say, wait, my little child, for what is playing dead? Possum with his black balloons will eat you up in bed. Philip, of course, lies in bed, fully clothed, staring at Possum.
Great.
And he gets up and he approaches it. We sort of see him back running across the bridge, running home, and then a bunch of black balloons floating down the street in front of their home. And he looks past the balloons and he sees in the window across the street a bald, staring face, Possum's face. Allison, he closes his eyes, trying to get one goddamn wink of sleep, this poor bastard.
I bet he gets no sleep ever.
He opens his eyes to once again find Possum laying next to him in bed, staring at him, stretched out alongside him. Allison, at this point in the movie, what would you do?
What would you do?
I think I would have to be like, I can't try and destroy this anymore. Mm-hmm. I have to just accept, you know, obviously, like, deal with your own trauma, like, therapeutically in ways that you can, but like the possum itself.
Right. I mean, I do think there is some value in going to therapy and talking about possum.
Yes.
But I agree. I think that, like, because this is more of like the fairy tale version of this story, I think and maybe it's a very American inclination to be like, oh, I need to ground this in reality. I need to explain it. Because you're absolutely right. The reality is you have to accept it, whatever that looks like. You know, whether that's like actually seeking help or whether we just see, it's sort of like the Babadook, like at the end, spoiler.
Right.
They have to live with it. And so they learn to have a better relationship with it. See, I thought for sure you were going to say the Allison special because I was like, this is untenable.
Well, I mean, there's no other out. Like, you either have to like accept this like horrific life where Possum the spider puppet is like with you all the time. And thus also so is your childhood abuse trauma. But yeah, other than that, I would kill myself. Ruined is brought to you by Factor. It is so hard to plan and prepare and eat healthy meals every single night of the week, but I'm super excited about Factor. You get every meal is fresh, never frozen, and is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. I mean, this is exactly what I need. It's spring. I want to do stuff. I want to stay fueled, but I don't want to waste any time preparing or shopping or doing any of the stuff that it is to feed yourself as an adult.
Absolutely, and I feel like we've all had the experience of like getting home and being like, oh my God, I can't cook an entire meal. So for me, Factor is a great option in terms of like having food there, like having food on hand. It's also me not wasting groceries. You know what I mean? You can imagine, you see what I'm like on the pod. You can imagine what my fridge looks like. And this way, I have prepared meals ready to go. They're healthy. They are waiting for me.
And it's great because you can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. So like if you're going to be eating out a lot, you can do fewer. If you're like in a kind of a vegan mode, you can do vegan. And you can pause and reschedule deliveries all to just suit your lifestyle. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/ruined50 and use the code RUINED50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code RUINED50 at factormeals.com/ruined50. 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Philip rushes down the stairs. He's got Possum back in the duffel, and he finds Maurice in the kitchen reading the paper, holding his little carved man puppet, and Maurice makes the puppet beckon Philip into the room. And I'm like, all right, okay.
Yeah.
And he says, you want something from the jar? And again, we see this big jar of sweets inside a glass cabinet. They're all different shades of this very beautiful, like, glass green. And Philip looks at them for a minute, and he says, what's in them? And Maurice says, same as always.
Oh.
And Philip replies, no, then.
Interesting.
Maurice says, well, all grown up now. And we see Philip and Maurice. And the problem with their relationship is, like, Maurice is clearly the only person in Philip's life.
Yeah.
So it's, like, as disgusting and awful and, like, clearly as fucked up as this guy is and, like, obviously was a horrible caregiver, Philip doesn't have anyone else. So yes, he's like,
exactly. He doesn't even know anything else. It seems
no,
like.
Exactly. He doesn't. And Philip lights Maurice's cigarette, and Maurice says to him, "Tell me about the fox." And Philip tries to say no, but Maurice demands him to tell a story. So the story is that he and some other boys, when they were again probably in middle school, were out on the marshes, which we just saw with the bridges.
Okay.
And he sort of built a den out there where they were playing.
When we got there, we found the fox. Thought it swallowed something because it was panting. His whole body was shaking like it was dying. And he started to kick it. All of them, yeah.
And then they stuck things in it until it was dead.
Ew.
And they made Philip pick it up. And when he wouldn't, they shoved his face into the fox's corpse.
Ugh.
And he started to cry, and all the boys ran off laughing.
Oh.
The thing is, Philip says, after they all left, the fox opens its eyes and stared at him, and then it stood up and it walked away. Allison, Maurice starts laughing so hard, he could barely contain himself.
What about that was funny?
And he tells Philip, "Well, sly bugger, he's just playing with you." And Maurice hands Philip this tin, like a cigarette holder. He said, I believe this is yours. And Philip says, yeah, like this house, Maurice. And Maurice ignores that, of course. Uh-huh. Says, you know, they're destroying the old barracks. It's about time. Black is sin over there. Philip, at the sound of the mention of the barracks, goes ghost white. And he always looks bad, but he looks across, like by the end of this movie, it's like, good Lord. Like,
noticeably worse.
Yes. And he grabs his duffel bag and he's about to leave. But again, he stops at the closed door in the hall. And Maurice asks again, going in? But Philip just leaves. Obviously, by the end of the movie, he will be going in that door. Like, we know that, right?
Yes.
Philip goes again to the woods, and we see him emerge behind the old barracks, which we saw in the opening credits. So, you know, he's going to the barracks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all abandoned, and he wanders around. He's got possum in his little bag. And in one room, he finds a mattress covered in leaves and a faded beret that reads Fall Marsh Youth Cadet.
Okay.
And we see him just sort of like,
is that like
every
Boy
room
Scouts?
Is... No. Can we say it again?
Is that like Boy Scouts?
Yes,
like,
I think it's supposed to be like British Boy Scouts. So again, a young man, a relic of a young boy's youth. And he wanders past literally pieces and of broken like metal and piles of scrap metal and mattress frames.
Great,
and I wrote,
great.
I'm sorry, but this town is a dump.
It is a full dump.
And he goes out to sort of this like parking lot behind the barracks that's all broken up and overgrown with grass. And he takes Possum out, of course.
Yeah, of course.
And finally, he lifts it by the head and sort of stares at each other. And he lifts Possum above his head. Allison, Philip starts lowering Possum's head towards him. And for a second, I thought they were going to kiss. I thought they were going to kiss.
Kiss.
And at the last second, he doesn't kiss him and he hurls Possum away.
Okay.
And then he approaches the puppet,
right,
and he just starts furiously punching it and pummeling it.
Yes.
And I will say I like this movie, but a lot of it is just watching a guy kick a puppet's ass.
I mean, great.
And I have a lot of bandwidth for that, but just keep that in mind. There are certain scenes where you're like, well, he's just kicking that puppet's ass again.
Well.
Allison, Philip fills the duffel bag with bricks and puts Possum in it before sinking it into the sort of the water reserve of the barracks, pushing it down with a board. It sinks. And that's the last we saw of Possum. Just kidding. You know that bitch is coming back. You know that's diva
Possum
behavior.
Finds a way.
Philip gets home and he calls for Maurice. And on the kitchen table is the Marshwood Evening News. And on the cover is the abducted kid. Mm-hmm. And it says, schoolboy abducted. And it's the kid from the train. Allison. Oh, sorry. That's not right. Boop, 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 boop. Oh, thank goodness. Okay. I was like, why haven't I put another what would you do? We already established that. Okay. As he gets ready for bed, Philip hears Maurice reading aloud from his journal, which he has clearly found under the floorboard, and says, Possum, How We Came Into the World, 1978, by Philip Connolly. And Philip, horrified, like emerges from his bedroom and slowly makes his way down the hall to Maurice's room. As Maurice reads out loud, after the fire, Possum, was it he who blackened the very sun above our town? Possum, Possum, does his stare not seem like the face of walking death? Behold how he came into the world. And Philip comes down the stairs, and it's very childlike. It's sort of like a child approaching their parents' bedroom, right? And he finds Maurice reading amidst stacks and stacks of paper. It's like, well, that's the fire hazard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just papers and boxes. And he says to Maurice, where did you get that? Maurice says, it fell. Bitch, it fell out of the floor?
Yeah, that, no. Nope.
Luckily, Philip calls him a liar and snatches it from him. And Maurice starts laughing at him, this horrible wheezing laugh. And Philip sits and smokes a cigarette. And Maurice says, is it dead yet? And Philip ignores the question and says, you won't see me again, Maurice. And Maurice says, people are talking, you know. Don't you read the papers? Allison, Philip asks him, why didn't you burn it, Maurice? Oh, sorry. Philip asks Maurice, why didn't you burn? Why wasn't it you? So why didn't you die in the fire, Maurice?
Oh, yeah.
And Maurice just laughs and laughs and slowly starts coughing and wheezing. That's pretty much that guy's pastime, is coughing maniacally until he starts coughing.
He loves a cough, a wheeze.
You gotta.
Yeah.
Back in his room, Philip pages through his possum journal, and he finally starts to cry, which I hope I'm like, oh, this guy needs like some relief.
Yeah.
And he lays down, and he puts his hand on his journal and shuts out the light. But when he goes to sleep, he keeps his hand on his journal. Obviously, he doesn't want Maurice to take it anymore.
Yeah.
The next day, we see Philip go look at the train station. So kind of looking around, and ends up back at the barracks eventually. And we see inside the tin, the cigarette tin that Maurice gave back to him, we see his hand-rolled cigarettes and then also a photo of Philip's parents.
Okay.
Who, of course, have died. And we, as soon as we see the parents, we zoom in on that perpetually closed door, which we can assume is their bedroom.
Yes.
And we see Philip is, Possum is nowhere to be seen. We know that Philip's trying to ditch him again. Philip is walking at frosty dawn, and he finds a frozen fox corpse next to the path. Mm. Allison, he walks by. When he turns back, the fox is alive and watching him.
Okay.
Of course, Philip arrives back home. He calls for Maurice, no answer. And he goes to his room, and you better believe Possum's back, baby. And he's hanging on the wall.
Possum is not missing the opportunity to come hang out.
No. He's a great hang. As we sort of see the dawn break over that freezing, muddy field that we've seen Philip in, we hear him say, Happy Valley painted black. All the children in a sack wave goodbye, the sun and moon. Say hello to Black Balloon.
Mm.
At home, we see Philip light his lighter. And for a second, you think he's going to burn his possum journal. But instead, he stands up and he looks face to face with Possum on the wall. But before he can burn him then, he hears Maurice coughing and moving things around the backyard.
Yeah,
pastime.
He's like, I got to do some wheezing. Do you mind if I do it in here?
Exactly. And what will help with his wheezing is that Maurice is burning a bunch of papers in a barrel in the backyard. They're burning barrel.
Great.
He's just inhaling all that smoke. So Philip joins him and drags Possum over to the barrel. Maurice gives him a cigarette, lights it for him, they smoke. And we see Philip clutching Possum, and I think this is like an important moment because he's always sort of like repulsed by or like pushing Possum away.
Yeah.
And then with his uncle, he's literally clutching Possum like a teddy bear. So I think it's also like this is a creature he made during childhood. It's horrifying, but it is protective in a lot of ways.
Comfort.
Right?
Yeah.
And so we see the Maurice of the paper he's about to burn is the paper with the missing boy Michael on it and says, well, you remember, Philip, this happened before during your time after the fire. And I looked and, you know, it's your school. I taught you there once, remember? That business with the fox? After that happened, a colleague asked me to come in and teach you boys a lesson. And we showed them, didn't we? Petrified they were. Philip's like, doesn't reply. Instead, takes Possum. Again, the physical manifestation of everything we're alluding to here. Puts Possum in the burning barrel. And Maurice hands him a shovel, and Philip smashes Possum down into the fire. And as Philip sobs, Maurice recalls the details of the abduction that happened when Philip was a kid.
Okay.
He says, stuffed them all inside a bag, didn't he? Wore a mask. And Philip's sobbing, and Maurice says, I had no idea. I'm sorry. And actually apologizes.
Okay.
And he hands Philip one of the sweets from the jar and says, I had no idea. And Philip takes it, but he starts gagging, and he storms away. And Maurice watches as the possum burns. Unfortunately, Allison, that night, Philip wakes up to footsteps coming up the stairs.
Little tiny footsteps?
No, unfortunately, adult man's footsteps.
Oh man,
I wish they were little spider footbeds. At this point, I would take possum.
Yeah, I would take possum over any other character any day.
Yeah. And we see the black balloons. Oh, sorry. We see the orange and yellow balloons enveloped in smoke again, sort of becoming blackened.
Yes.
And we see scenes of possum sort of moving of his own volition through the mud, through the barracks. And we see a long shot of the doorway downstairs that's never opened. And in his dreams, Philip takes a pale green candy from Arisa's big jar and eats it. Mm-hmm. As this pounding continues, and the sound is kind of underpinning everything. And in his dream, at the end of the bed is the duffel bag. And okay. Possum emerges from it and then suddenly crawls quickly up the bed. And Philip wakes in a panic. And what he does, he looks down and sees there's a spider crawling across the floor.
A regular one.
He wakes up, which is a regular spider. Standard spider. Doesn't know. The spider's like, this has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
I just happen to be here.
Yeah, oh, well. Wrong place, wrong time.
He continues to hear the pounding and we realize it's not footsteps. There's somebody pounding at the front door. Oh. It's the middle of the night. He starts to descend the stairs, and we hear a police radio outside. And we see a flashlight being shined in.
Oh, no.
He sort of stays on the landing, and the cop eventually leaves. It's the middle of the night. But, of course, the police have come to talk to him about the abduction of the boy.
Yes, of course.
But when the police leaves Allison, he still hears the pounding. And we see wasn't footsteps coming up the stairs. It wasn't the police at the door. The pounding is coming from inside the room with the eternally closed door. And Allison, I now ask you, who will survive?
Who will survive?
I hope Philip survives. Mm-hmm. And that he, you know, I guess like possum the spider. Will maybe eventually be destroyed as he comes to terms with his own personal history. I think
Maurice. Do you think Maurice will die? Getting on here alive?
I think he'll die.
Mm-hmm. And what about Michael, the abducted boy?
I think he's going to survive.
Okay, great. Philip goes back upstairs to sleep. And in the morning, he goes down to open that damn door. And say what you will about Philip. He's not trying.
Yeah.
He's trying to figure this the fuck out and move on. But before he could get the door open, he chickens out and he goes to the kitchen. But Maurice is nowhere to be seen. Upstairs, he turns the TV on and he sees a police reporter talk about the abducted boy. Allison, the police say they're looking for a man who they think they could be a suspect.
Officers are investigating reports of a man acting suspiciously near woodlands and waste ground, close to a former military barracks in the area of Fullmarsh.
See, this is why you don't do that.
You
are suspect one.
Yes.
Every time.
When you are frantically open mouthed, sobbing, running around in a filthy trench coat in a small town, like people do notice. I'm sorry.
With a bag that has a giant spider
that you're like frantically trying to drown. Yeah.
Yeah. Even if you have nothing to do with a crime, it's just a tough look.
Yeah. And they also say that this man has been seen with the boy.
Oh, no.
And we flash back to them on the train.
Okay.
Philip runs over and shuts the TV off, and then he heads out to the bridges. He goes to the bridges. He goes to the
mountains.
You literally just see him, like, go revisit every place. Allison, when he gets to the barracks, the cops are there, clearly looking for Michael, clearly being like, okay, yes. So somebody maybe saw this guy wander out of the barracks. Did he throw Michael in the water? Is he stashed somewhere, hopefully, you know, alive? God. Philip goes home and he starts searching in the barrel for possum. So he's not looking for Michael. He's looking for possum. He needs possum back. Yeah, because possum is his constant companion. Maurice shows up and says, someone came here looking for you, the law. I told them you weren't here. But don't worry, he'll turn up. And Philip's like, turn up? How it'll turn up? We burned him, referring to possum.
Yeah.
And Maurice says, no, you're confused. Maurice tells him, I'm going away. And when I'm gone, don't bring trouble home. These bloody kids. Allison, Philip heads back to his old school. And he finally works up the courage to go inside. And this scene fucked me up. It's just so sad. Because he's having a breakdown. Like, he's sobbing, he's sweating, he looks awful. And he's talking to, like, the office assistant. And he says, could I talk to Mr. Grant? He was my form teacher when I was here. He knows all about what happened. And he told me he'd go to the police with me. So again, Philip clearly confided in a teacher at the time of the abuse.
Okay.
And then nothing happened. So I don't know. We don't know whether he didn't want to go, whether the teacher ended up not going with him. But someone did know. He did tell a teacher, and the teacher told him to go to the police. And now Philip is there. He just needs help. He can't think of anybody else. And the office assistant's like, okay, just wait right here. And he goes, but of course he can hear through the door, and he hears Mr. Grant say, okay, will you call them? And I'll keep him here. Okay. He's calling the police,
of
right?
Of course.
They're all assuming, like, He's fitting
the suspect portrait that they painted. Yeah.
Allison, poor Philip goes back to the abandoned barracks.
Oh, no.
And he holds the photo of his parents, and it starts to rain black soot. And he looks down, and it's just black rain pouring all over him. And it's like a grief, abuse, like the inescapable, like, agony of what has happened to him. And he goes back to the field, and he runs through the woods, and we see Possum chasing him. And he keeps seeing these different scenes. He wakes up again in the barracks, and we see Possum's long legs appear sort of down from the roof.
Yeah.
And these are all images we saw earlier in his dream, sort of like Possum mobile. Because we've never actually seen Possum. Like, I don't think he actually can move. Yeah, like, I think these are all, like, the barrier between his dream life and waking life is starting to dissolve as he's, like, slowly losing his mind. And also the barracks is, like, soaked and leaking, and, like, he finds outside Possum lying on the concrete. And he's sort of sitting on the duffel bag. And finally, Philip falls to his knees in front of Possum. And Possum reaches up his little spider leg and puts it on Philip's shoulder.
I kind of, like, love Possum now, even though he's a, you know, manifestation of horrific trauma.
And I think that's what we're supposed to think. Like, he puts his little hand on Philip's shoulder, and then Philip wakes up and he chokes out, he spits out the green candy his uncle gave him.
Uh-huh.
And we hear Maurice is reading the poem. It says, "Open the parcel, out it sprang. The black-legged long Possum man. Children run, he'll eat and smother any child without a mother." And I think, like, both, like, Possum comforting him, allowing him to expel this green candy that his uncle has been putting inside him. Mm-hmm. Now Philip has broken from his life.
That pattern.
So when he comes back to the house, he's enraged. He's not sad. He's not apologetic.
Okay.
He's not passive aggressive. He's screaming, Maurice. He's tearing the house apart looking for the uncle. He can't find him, so he starts slamming his own head against the wall. And we see Possum look at him. And I don't know if we're, because, like, obviously it's shot in a certain way, but when we finally see Possum's head back at him, it is Philip's face. It is like a ghostly inverse version of him, right? Philip is finally breaking. Like, he's breaking from reality, but he's also breaking from the reality that he's been in, which is every day is a struggle. He's white-knuckling it. The only thing he's been able to cope is to create Possum. Now he's breaking out of it, which, of course, means he has to go to the closed door of the room he cannot go in.
Yes, he must.
And he opens it, and we see the room is completely burned and has never been fixed. So there's soot everywhere. Mm-hmm. It is, of course, his parents' room.
Yeah.
There's soot and ash on every surface. There's a headboard with no mattress and a bunch of, like, clothes just on the ground. He finds a jar full of teeth.
Oh, what?
And he turns, and out of the shadows leaps a man in a mask who wrestles Philip to the ground before moving his mask. It's Maurice, obviously.
Yes, of course.
And he says, "Come to see mommy and daddy. Dirty boy playing with the dead." And Philip immediately, like, is a child again. Like, Philip is sobbing, begging, no. Of course, as anyone would be, you know, in that moment. And he starts berating and slapping and punching Philip while he's on top of him. And he says, "Don't worry, Uncle Maurice is here with his fingers. Have you missed my fingers? Have you missed them?" Philip, of course, says, no.
No. No so one Maurice misses says, his fingers.
Open up, and then jams his fingers into Philip's sobbing mouth.
Ugh.
And Maurice screams, "Turn over, trousers down." And he tells Philip, "You knew it was me out by the barracks. You knew I worked everywhere. And now they're hunting you." Which I think we're to believe, like, you knew when that abduction happened when you were young that it was me. You knew when those boys were abducted that the man in the mask, that was me. You know I abducted this boy.
Yeah.
But now they're hunting you.
Right.
I've passed this on to you, basically.
Yes.
And Maurice takes off his belt and he just starts beating Philip's bare ass with a belt. Ugh. And I wrote, "I'm going to need Possum to come and fucking kill this guy."
Yeah, just rip Maurice limb from limb, because that's
what
he deserves.
And that's
deserves.
What thought was going to happen. But yeah. as Maurice starts to like beat him, he's like, I'm going to give you like a classic six. Is like whipping him six times. Philip hears something moving in the trunk. And in that moment, he hears it. And he realizes Michael, the boy, is in that trunk.
Oh.
And that gives him the strength to wrestle Maurice to the ground.
Yeah.
And he sits
there's
on
like
him.
Something yeah. to fight for.
Exactly. He sits on him. And when he sits on Maurice's lap, basically, Maurice says, can you feel that, boy? And starts laughing. Ugh. Philip looks at Maurice, Allison, and he looks down and he snaps this motherfucker's neck.
Okay.
And he goes to the trunk and he opens it, revealing Michael, the abducted boy, who is alive, very freaked out, obviously.
I mean,
and he scrambles away and runs out of the house.
Yeah.
And we end on Philip in the backyard, holding the head of Possum the puppet, staring in the middle of distance, but he does look a lot better. The end.
Okay.
Yeah. Allison, what are some fatal mistakes? I'll take it. What are some fatal mistakes you think were made in the movie Possum?
Fatal mistakes.
I mean, as always, processing trauma.
Yeah, I'm going to say the main mistake was having Maurice as an uncle.
Yeah, like still being there.
Yeah.
Not that it's like on Philip right. to like know to be like, I have to disentangle myself from my abusive uncle who abducts and murders people, including my yeah. family. Like, but, you know, Maurice sucked.
Yeah, and the implication about the parents' death is like they died in a fire in their room. But then you see Maurice smoking in a room full of papers. And I took that to be like, maybe it wasn't intentional, but he did set that fire. And they died because of it. So
yes.
I don't think it's necessarily supposed to be arson. I could be wrong about that. But I think it's like his negligence led to the parents' death.
Yes.
Which then set up Philip to be raised in a sexually and physically and psychologically abusive home.
Yes.
Listen, honestly, considering all that happened to him, becoming a disgraced children's puppeteer is actually pretty good.
I mean, also thank God for Possum the Spider, who at least is a representation of that.
Yeah, it is sort
grief.
Of like, it is like the Babadook, where it's like at the end,
yeah.
I thought Possum was going to come and just start kicking ass, which I was
really
excited about.
I was really ready for like a big Possum fight scene.
Yeah, but maybe it had to be Philip because he's like taking his power back. He's doing the thing that he wished he had done.
Yes.
Rather than having the puppet do it for him. I don't even know if the puppet really could. And I'm glad that Michael the boy was abducted. I am concerned he will tell the police that it was Philip, but
yeah.
I think that given the fact that there's all this history of abduction, he could pretty clearly point to the uncle doing it.
Yes, yes,
and,
yes.
And I hope that they catch him a break. And other than that, though, I mean, what are you going to do if a puppet keeps coming back to you? I mean, like,
yeah,
I mean, think a lot of us would get stuck in that cycle, you know?
Easily.
And then finally, where would you put Possum on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
Boy, I'm going to give this an 8.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
It's tough. Like, the subject matter is tough. The visuals are tough. It feels like you never get to really, like, exhale.
Yeah.
So, 8 for me. What about you?
I'm going to give it a 6. I think it's very disturbing.
Mm.
But in terms of being scary, I think it definitely falls more on the, like, extremely sad side of things. With, like, at a certain
yes.
point, you know, or I felt like, well, the puppet's not going to do anything to him because it already would have, right? So
right.
a lot of it, I was like, okay, well, it's not going to be the puppet. It's going to end up being something with his uncle, who was so
yeah.
obviously a malevolent figure. That to me, it's almost like when he was running around, it was almost kind of like a break from like being back in the house.
Yeah.
And so, but I really liked it. It was just more of like a dread, like a spreading dread versus
yes.
scary or spooky.
Yes.
Which again, I wouldn't recommend if you're someone who doesn't like scary either way. Like I think that it is.
Yeah, it's still a tough sell if.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And visually terrifying. Visually really,
yeah.
really horrifying.
Yeah.
So I would say that would be – I'm going to go with a 6.
Yeah. Okay. 6. That
yeah.
feels good. Averaging to a 7 between us.
There. Absolutely. Well, thank you, everyone, for
yeah.
joining us. This was – again, we didn't succeed in scaring Allison to death, but the
we're
mission
closer.
Continues.
We're getting,
closer by the day.
This was a really good one and one I didn't know existed, and I guess now I do.
Yeah, and I feel like there's so many movies where they sort of have to spell out the trauma. It's like, you don't have to explain, like, just give us, like, a little bit. We could piece together the rest.
Yeah, you
don't have to be so on the nose with it, you know.
Agreed. Yeah, this was nice. This feels like a nice adaptation of, like, kind of showing that.
Yeah, like, if you're going to be about trauma, the movie's about trauma. Then that, like, let's fucking get into it. It's not, I'm going to say out loud what happened or, like, you know, that kind of thing. But
I think I just saw the fly in your apartment fly by the camera.
Damn it. Yeah, it's right here. I'm going to kill him.
Kill him.
It, I guess. They.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Yes. We hope you enjoyed that one. That was a greasy, grimy, tough one.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it. Really, really well done. Until next time, everyone, please do your best, as you always do,
to keep it spooky. Don't forget to follow us at Ruin Podcast and Crooked Media for show updates. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a review. Ruined is a Radio Point and Crooked Media production. We're your writers and hosts, Hallie Kiefer and Allison Leiby. The show is executive produced by Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder, and recorded and edited by Kat Iosa. From Crooked Media, our executive producer is Kendra James, with production and promotional support from Ari Schwartz, Kyle Sieglin, Julia Beach, Caroline Dunphy, and Awa Okolade.
In Let's Make a Horror, three comedians will make you laugh while they try to make you scream. Over 10 episodes, hosts Maddie, Mark, and Ryan will learn what it takes to make a truly frightening horror movie.
They'll meet the creators who make horror such an enduring genre and take a stab at their own short, shocking film. Listen to Let's Make a Horror everywhere you get your podcasts.